and welcome to the latest Shooting the Ghost. Just a couple of hours away from hitting the road, I'm just throwing this together as quickly as I can. Apologies for the poor quality of sound and for other glitches. This is the best I could do in the time allowed. Basically, more or less picking up where we left off with Chris's story and actually hitting the road specifically in order to find Chris again or try and find him. I'm hoping he's going to be in the place that I left him. My return to that place was delayed by 3 forest fires in the Okanagan Valley, which meant that the ride I was going to get was cancelled, and so I ended up spending almost an extra week, which gave me time to work on other stuff, but it also means that I'm a little less sure that I'm going to be able to find Chris. And stick with the podcast, bear with us as we iron out these glitches. If I do run into Chris, I'll try to improve the sound quality now that I'm aware of the need for that, and hopefully we can weave this archetypal narrative into the form that it most wants to find for itself. I'm going to also try to post at the blog more regularly commentaries or analyses of Chris's story and the archetypal text and narrative that's running through it. So keep an eye on the blog, and once again, keep that feedback coming. We like to know that you're out there.
Yeah, we lived with Grandma when I was that age. We didn't have no kindergarten then, so I didn't even start school until I was 7 years old. There was no kindergarten, there was no preschool. But to make money, I'd collect eggs at, can't remember the egg farm's name. And you throw the egg on the ground, all the hens would dive down and suck it up. That way you could steal their eggs when they weren't looking. That was a hoot. Almost lost my thumb under. There was a thing we used to transport the eggs from one end of the barn to the other, a monorail kind of thing, that you could put the baskets in. I can't remember why we moved out of Grandma's place.
Wait, so go back then. So you were living there with your mother, your father, and his two brothers. They were all there at the same time.
No. I think Evelyn lived there. I can't even remember.
Sister.
One of my dad's sisters, yeah. There was my Uncle Butch was the youngest, and then Evelyn.
So you had 7 uncles on your father's side. I mean, 3 uncles and 4 aunts.
Yeah.
Did you know them all?
Oh, sure, yeah.
They were all in the same town.
Yeah.
So was there anyone of particular of the uncles, aunts that you were close to?
Well, Evelyn took care of Grandma. Like, Evelyn was... She ended up marrying some guy the same age as my grandma. So she was going to be the spinster. So when Grandma needed it, Evelyn was always there. So when we three moved in, Evelyn, it was more the reason she wanted to put us up for adoption, because she fucking knew it was going to be more work for her. And never mind Grandma, you know. She was a weird one. She threw a fork at my dad one time, missed him, stuck it in the ass of the cat. Fuck it. What a sound that made. Yeah, just whipped it across the table. Stuck it right in the eyes of the cat. Then there was my mom's family, the Salisburys. They're from England. And where, I don't know. Yeah. Elsie Salisbury. She's got family. I got family there somewhere. Some distant cousins. But they were nuts. I thought they were like the Black Donnellys of real life. That's another story. But they're the ones who taught me how to hunt, how to trap, how to smoke. My mother's family, yeah.
Like you in particular?
Oh, well, there were 13 kids in that family. My grandmother had 13. My mother being the oldest of them all. And the youngest... Terry, he was only 2 years older than my brother.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that was you had an uncle who was like 3 years older than you.
Yeah. And I can remember going playing in the barn, you know, and Grandpa being drunk in the corner. And get the fuck out of my barn, always miserable, eh? We'd swing from hayloft to hayloft on a rope and just tell him to fuck off, eh? Mm. Used to skate in Sunday school in the ditches. Used to hunt frogs. Jeez, everything, man. My Uncle Lenny mostly, but I used to be the kid that had to climb the tree. And they always knew, because they'd done it for so many years. They knew the trees, and they'd always find any tree that was getting hollow. And I used to take the stick out and put it down in the hole, twirl it around, pull it out, and you could see if there's raccoon fur and stuff on it or not. And so if there wasn't, you just knew that they'd been sleeping there, and you'd come back. If there was, there'd usually be three or four raccoons in that tree. So I was the kid who had to climb the fucking tree and put the stick in, and then I'd twirl it. I'd have a little fork in the end of the stick. Then I'd twirl it around in their fur and start yanking them out. And my uncles would be down at the bottom of the tree with 22s. And once you start pulling them out, the little ones are on top of the big ones. And they'd all start shooting coming out of the fucking tree, and I'd have to jump out of the way. And my uncles would shoot them with 22, and we'd sell the hides. They were like 35 to 50 bucks a hide back then in the 60s. I don't know what they did with them, probably. Yeah. So used a trap muskrat. Oh, from the time I was 8, 9 years old until my mom ran off.
So it was just the men, your mother's brothers?
The hunting, yeah.
Like all of them? How many brothers?
Mostly. Uncle Ronnie never. He turned fag in the end. He was gay, but he was never into the hunting. He should have known. You know.
So who were the brothers then?
Oh, gee, there was Rob and Ron and Lenny and Tommy and Terry and Bill and Pete and Dave. And then there was Donna and Shirley and Jeannie and Janet. Oh, no, they had no religion that I know of. But yeah, my grandpa used to, I can remember running up a skinny fucking set of stairs, going upstairs, and grandma be running, grandpa's got the shotgun. And he would come in and he'd shoot the legs off the kitchen table, or he'd come in shooting the gun. And I can remember all of us, all my uncles and everybody, up this little scrawny stairwell upstairs, because grandpa had the gun, hey? He was fucking crazy.
That's your mother's father.
Yeah.
What was his
name? I don't even know.
Grandpa, crazy. So back to the hunting thing, right? From you were like 8 or something.
Yeah.
All these guys took you out, or your brother as well?
My sister would never come, and we usually went at different times, because grandma couldn't have any more. In the early years, the both of us would go, but when we got a little bit older, one at a time, I'd go for a month in the summer, and then he'd go for a month.
So
and
camp?
No. We'd go to her house. She lived hours
so you'd
away.
Stay there.
Yeah.
So, but what about the hunts? Was that like just?
We just went out in the mornings. Did that.
Like every morning.
Practically. Yep.
And what were you getting?
And we get rabbits. We'd shoot anything. Squirrel. We used to eat squirrels all the time.
Niggas.
Hey. But yeah, we didn't. Yeah, I wasn't running fast enough. Yeah, pigeons, I remember eating a lot of pigeons. Sundays was frog legs, and we used to make our own spears and walk the ditches and spear frogs and drown out and make frog legs.
So did you enjoy these times?
Oh, it was great. It was the best time. I thought it was the coolest thing to have 2-3 rabbits on each hip through your belt loop with the blood running down the side of your leg, traipsing through the fucking bush after your uncle, him yelling at you, get out of the way. You know, fucking. And my Uncle Lenny could spot a fucking rabbit 100 yards away underneath the tree in the middle of a snow pile over there behind the fence. Fucking, can you see that rabbit? It's right there, look. Yeah, Lenny was cool. He taught me how to trap muskrat and duck hunt.
Right. So when did you start shooting stuff?
That was the only time period when I was hunting.
But you were also shooting stuff, or you were just like, bear, whatever?
Oh, I played with guns all the time.
Right from the start.
But that was the beginning, when the hunting part. We used to shotgun mostly. You used to take the Luger out and fucking with Nip West. We'd steal his dad's gun he got in the Army from World War II. We'd take it out and shoot the tanks back at Luther's Pond.
So So and they were teaching you trapping as well.
My uncles. Snares. Making snares, you mean? No.
Whatever.
They taught me how to snare things.
Because you can catch a rabbit as well as just shoot it, right?
Snare them. You know, make the hoof. Yeah, you can snare shit. Just find the fucking trail to take them through, because they think they travel the same path all the time. And you can find the fucking trail that they're taking and make a snare where you know they're going to run through. But we used to set traps for muskrat. That was the only thing we ever trapped.
And what did you do with the muskrat?
My Uncle Lenny sold them to the furry. They're the furrier guy. The same guy who took the raccoons. They
like a whole muskrat? Or you skin?
Yeah, no. They were too hard to skin as well. The raccoons we never skinned either because they were too difficult and you'd end up wrecking it. Eh? So they'd do it because they were professionals.
So when did you learn to skin an animal?
A rabbit was the first thing I learned to skin.
Like how old were
you? Well, probably 9, 10 maybe. Wow. Used to skate the ditches, go to Sunday school. Yeah. The ditches were like 20 feet deep, 15 feet wide in southern Ontario, with the first North American oil discovery was ever found. A place called Petrolia. And there's a place, Oil Springs, and that's where my mother's family's from.
So you must have got pretty close to these guys.
Oh, geez, yeah, man. Sure. Like I say, most of them were much older than me.
How old is the oldest?
I think Bill's the oldest of the bunch. Well, Bill, he went to university in California, and then he showed up one day on a BSA motorcycle with a chick, and they dropped out, and he wanted to make pizzas for the rest of his life. He showed up at my house, and well, we were kids, and he pulled up on his motorcycle, and he was supposed to be in school, and he dropped out to make pizza. He ended up having a frontal lobotomy. I got two uncles who had frontal lobotomies. Pete, he used to take Jason out hunting with him, and so his son, and he was like 6, 7 years old. Pete's all fucked up, and he used to take Jason hunting, so he made him a little skeleton gun, 22, so he could go shooting with his dad. He bad drunk. They were all bad alcoholics. And Pete wants to die, so he takes fucking Jason's gun and makes Jason pull the trigger and shoots himself in the fucking head. And his wife Carol's not home at the time. Well, the cops figure she tried to kill him. He's in a coma. Nobody, you know, they can't talk to him. And, well, I'm getting to that, yeah. And so they're trying to blame her and everything else. The only print they found on it, you know, belonged to Jason. They knew that, you know, no one else had touched it. And Jason said, yeah, Daddy said pull the trigger. Daddy said pull the trigger. Oh, he was really young. He was 6, 7, 8 years old. So he ended up having to have a frontal lobotomy.
Jason?
No, my Uncle Pete, because he got shot. Oh, I don't know what happened to him, man. He's grown up now. Hey, oh, I don't know. I never had much contact with that whole side of my family after my mom ran off. No, nobody got charged. No. So he had a frontal lobotomy, Pete.
When
he
was shooting.
Yeah.
After he shot himself.
Yeah.
But and, apart from where he gave himself.
Right, apart from where he gave himself a partial. And then my other Uncle Pete, and which one I got out of there? Uncle Pete and Uncle Bill had a frontal lobotomy as well. Uncle Bill got in a bar fight and somebody put his head down by the side of the curb and hit him a couple of toes. And they had to do a frontal lobotomy on him.
So in both cases it wasn't to turn them into zombies, it was the only way to save them.
Yeah. But Uncle Bill, he'd be sitting beside you, he'd be going, geez, he's the best fucking french fries I've ever had in my life. You guys having a good fucking day. And he stuck the fork in your leg, eh? Or any, they'd just do offside, just out of nowhere, shit, eh, afterwards. And you couldn't talk, and his girlfriend, you had to go through her. And she'd know when to calm him down, you know, when you're having to talk with him.
Did he stick a fork in your leg?
No, he did to a fucking, I did it to my Uncle Lenny. But we're down there, my sister's with her husband. And Lawrence Cope was the biggest, nastiest guy you ever seen. And for some reason, my sister's husband decides he's going to be a tough guy. Lawrence Cope was a mean, nasty fighting. Lawrence Cope fucking gave Ronald a slap in the head, and Ron worked for Stelco in Ontario at the steel plant, and he had a piece of steel in his eye. And Lawrence Cope gave him a little bitch slap the side of the head. I can't remember exactly why. Ron got all choked, eh? Hit him over the head with the fucking ketchup bottle, man. Yeah. And Lawrence Cope didn't budge. Yeah, if my grandma hadn't been there, that would have been it. I used to go to the bars. My uncle would take me to the bar when I was really young. And I'm 9 to all of them. And their friends, Cope used to come, because they used to hang around my grandma's house.
So as well as hunting, and drinking then?
Oh, all they did was drink.
Yeah, but it was you.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
The Blue Castle Hotel, they tried to kick us out. They took me in. And the boys fucking told him, you're serving him a beer.
How old was I?
Or nobody's having a beer. Oh, probably from the time I was 8 till 11 or 12.
Hey, again, so you were...
They take me everywhere. They took me, I went everywhere. I went everywhere they went. I went from Huckleberry Hound to Cheech and Chong all in one summer. You know? It was pretty wild. My grandmother was busted for cultivating marijuana. There was always weed. As long as my grandma had her bottle of gin, you could do what you wanted. So I was smoking weed in the house with my uncles in the living room. You couldn't do it in the kitchen. You know, as long as grandma had her gin.
So didn't they take the whore on you?
No.
It seemed like that would be part of it.
No. I never got that age where they wanted to do that.
Well, drinking, you're old enough to drink.
Well, I think I had to be with them, so I had to go, and that's where they were going, so... And I seen the boys clear the bars many times while I was sitting there. They were crazy. Fighting amongst themselves and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
They're just nonstop fight. They were nuts. But my Uncle Tommy passed right out. Fight breaks up, I see him. He gets up, passed out on the table, drunk. Gets up. No, that was Rob. Or Ron, I should say. They were twins, Rob and Ron. The one looked like a nigger and the other one turned fags. I don't know what happened. What kind of mailman he was, but, you know, fuck.
So, what, did your father do any of that kind of stuff with you?
No, I never did anything.
Baseball or something?
No.
He wasn't there a lot?
No.
Mentor or anything? Like teaching stuff?
No, he was on the road all the time. They always just give us money, you know? Go swimming at the pool. You know, go roller skating, go to the hockey game.
So it's kind of like the one day you had like 8 days.
Oh, when I went down there, it was a free-for-all. It was all testosterone.
That was like 1 month in the year.
Sometimes it was the whole, you know, sometimes, 2 months. Sometimes Christmas we'd go for a week. It all depended.
And how long did that carry on?
Till my dad was killed and my mom ran off.
Then
I didn't see them anymore.
So that must have been the worst of it, in a way.
I don't know if it ever crossed my mind then.
Well, like you said, everything changed.
Oh, fuck. Kaboom.
Because if your dad wasn't there anyway, then him dying would have been such a big change. But your mum not being there. Cut off from the whole family. What about your dad's brothers? Did they get involved at that point?
No. My Uncle Butch is the one who I ended up lending my fucking, my inheritance money to, and he never paid me back. Cocksucker. Yeah, well, no, a big chunk of it. He had stolen money from his work or some crap.
And he died before he could pay it back.
No, he just fucking, he told me he's going to give it back at income tax time, and he'd pay me so much every week from work, and grandma was there, and he asked me in front of my grandma, and I don't know why I gave it to him. I ended up freaking out, and he ended up having to give me his car in the end, because he wasn't paying me my money. So I told grandma, and I got a job where I needed a vehicle. And I was with Susan, and we were living out in the apple orchard. And I asked my Uncle Butch to sign the fucking, to get me a loan for a car. He couldn't pay me no money. I need a car, just co-sign. Hey? And he says, yeah, no problem. I call the bank. They tell me he never even went in. He tells me they said that we can't do it. So I got all freaked out and ratted on him to Grandma. And 4 hours later, I had a new car. The debt was null and void, yeah. My Uncle Butch.
So was there any, like, male figure after that, when you were 13, 14, anyone that they looked up to?
No. Nope.
So you're pretty much grown up for that.
Yeah. Well, I was on my own from that point. Yeah, I was on my own from that point, man. Grandma let me run. I was out all hours, drinking and cavorting.
So did you, like, have any artistic aspirations or anything, like any shit like that? Like...
autism? What?
Well, that's
artistic.
That's a whole other subject, yeah. yeah, like wanting to be rock star, writer, super pimp, or hitman.
No, no.
Like, if someone had asked you, what do you want to do with your life? They must have asked you that. Maybe you don't care at that point, but what would you have said?
I don't have a clue. I've never aspired to be...
But did you aspire to be a criminal?
Well, I worked my way up into that all slowly, you know. I was fucking doing B&E's, you know, as a young guy, and stealing snowmobiles off people's farms, you know. And then I moved my way up. And, well, there was always a lot of snow, and they were easy to get a hold of, you know. And back then, there wasn't your quads and your ATVs and your fucking. You know, you had a snowmobile and a motorcycle, there you go, take your pick.
So, but did you have, like, aspirations about joining a gang or becoming a Hells Angel or Mafia, or did you have any of that kind of idea, or did that just kind of fall into your lap?
Well, I just fell in my lap, actually. I had this John Wayne thing going on, you know. Well, I was more of a... the hero saved the day kind of thing. I don't know how to say it. Yeah, just to be honorable and, you know, save the day, like John Wayne always comes in, like in the movie Full Metal Jacket, you know, when the sniper's up in all the towers and they don't know where the sniper is, and Buddy's walking by and they're all going, oh, hey, is that you, John Wayne? John Wayne, is that you? That's because John Wayne always comes in and rescues people in that day, right? So...
who did you want to rescue?
Yeah. Anybody, just take a focus off of me. I wanted people to think I was strong and strong and fearless and all the things I'm the opposite of.
So, but was doing B&Es and getting into crime, was that part of the same thing? Was that like...
that was probably for money and attention. You know. Thrills.
How did you square the two ideas?
Hey man, I was whacked when I was a fucking dad. Logic never came into focus. There was money. It was because of money, so I could get more dope, so I could sit in the bar longer, so that I could do whatever I was.
But how did the John Wayne, like, aspiration, how did it happen?
Well, you asked me if I ever aspired to be anything, and that might have come years later, you know.
The John Wayne thing was later?
Yeah, not when I started my crime thing when I was, fuck, 15, you know.
That was not part of it.
No, then I was still in a dizzy over the death and the running off thing, you know. And the little things that happened in the first year. Having to quit school, fucking.
So did having a kid, like, change you? Like,
I don't know what happened there, man. Yeah. I worked, hung around for a long time. Yeah, I caught Susan writing love letters to my brother. And she used to sign them anonymously. But she left a fucking paper trail. Well, every time she would come from Brantford to Simcoe, she would mail one, but in a different town. My brother gets four or five of them, and he shows them all to me, eh? And I'm looking at the writing, and I'm...
Why did he show you?
Because he's going, look, got some chick, don't even know who she is.
Did he know?
No, he didn't know. I said, really? Let me see those fucking... Let me see the postmark on those. Doing my Sherlock Holmes. That's fucking direct path from... And it was her writing, and I knew it was her writing. And it was... One was mailed in Brantford, one was mailed in a town just outside. And direct path right to Simcoe. And she tried to tell me she was writing them for her girlfriend, because her and her girlfriend wanted us to be a foursome, my brother and she. That's what she tried to tell me.
And why was she writing to your brother if he didn't even know who she was?
That was all gonna come out. This wasn't gonna be a 2-day thing. I mean, she wrote the letters for about 3-4 weeks. That's when I busted. I could have went on. And
so she was trying to get to know him through the letters.
Well, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the fuck she's doing. That sort of fucked me up again. But I had this thing, you know, mother running out on you, and I got a thing with women. But it all, I think it all stems from my mother running out. And the letter that she wrote. And how I deal with women because of that.
Knowing that changed the way that you're dealing with women?
No. That's insanity, right? Doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. I'm fucking insane, because but not no more, I give it up. And, yeah. Ontario Correctional Institute.
Helicopter and the plane.
That's a busy fucking little airport, eh?
Yeah.
When they're not having fires.
So, I mean, if you took like a wild man out of tribal, whatever, you know, primitive culture, and put him in a suit, try to get him to fit along with what we consider society or the way things are, then he would be a sociopath. He would have to be. Yeah. He would either go bonkers trying to fit in, or he would just be himself in that environment, and then he'd be a sociopath and he'd have to be locked up. Because, you know, it's primitive. So, like, civilization is like the suppression of instincts, you know, sexual instinct, instinct to kill, racism, all these basic things that are, well, it's not racism, but territorialism. They get turned, given these new names, racism, psychopath, pathology, whatever, you know. And so then people repress them, and if you can repress them, then that doesn't mean that you've got a stronger will to repress, but it means that you've got less, like, pure primal instinct to repress, right? So then the people who have more primal instinct, like Sam Peckinpah, are more in tune with their physical being, their genetic heritage, who are more men, let's say, become sociopaths, because they won't repress it. You know? So, but Peckinpah, he brought it out in, you know, drinking, whore fucking, and making movies, but in brawling and knife throwing, and he had this whole macho thing, which is what the Wild Bunch was about. Sense, yeah, you know, it was showing that side of bandits, romanticizing it. This is men who are the closest thing to real men in this fucking pansy ass, you know, world of railroads and banks.
Whatever happened to Randolph Scott, you know, riding the trail alone? Whatever happened to Gene and Tex and Roy and Rex and the Durango kid?
Well, right, and they never existed, did they?
Well, they're all movie cowboys, you know,
right?
Men, you know, from the early days.
So there's a vision of the West that was popular, like before Sam Peckinpah, which is the John Wayne thing, the guy who's standalone and does what's right. He's got no place in the community, though, because he's just there to protect him from bad men. And if there aren't any bad men, he's the bad man, you know, because he lives by violence. So he always has to leave the community, because there's no place for him once he's, you know, destroyed the evil and protected.
He's trying to get away from his evil ways, and he ends up in some town and he ends up having to save the sheep farmers.
Right.
You know?
And then he can find his
good
side.
Well, not because he, hey?
But then he can find his good side also. I mean, well, that was more what Peckinpah did. He took these sociopathic characters
who were killers at the same time.
Who became heroes in a way because they found a greater evil in themselves.
That's the kind of hero I want to be. The kind that was out, you know, when I was saying like a John Wayne kind of thing, that kind of an idea.
Right. So, how's it working out for you?
Hey, one time in Banff National Park, I'm heading to, which one was it going? Well, I was heading to Vancouver, and he stole his daddy's Harley, and he was going to Calgary, and we met in Banff, and he's all freaking out, and he stole my dad's Harley. He didn't have it with him. He stole it, and Dad was coming home, but Dad knows that he had taken it, and so he runs away. I talked this kid into going home and everything else, and so that was one episode.
I was just
minding my own business and speaking from my heart like I always do. You know, I don't hold nothing back. And
so were you trying to talk him into
going home? Yeah, he went home.
So why did you think he needed to go home?
No, he didn't want to. He was scared to go home to his dad. I just convinced him that he's better off going home.
How old was he?
Phone your dad. Oh, about 16, 17.
So like if you'd been 16, 17 and running away from home, would you have wanted to like it? Strong male figure, John Wayne type, to talk you into going back
home. Could be the same idea, you know.
But don't you think that it was... You said yesterday that that was the best thing you could have done, was just hit the road. And that everybody needs to do that, right? So how come you didn't want this kid to do that?
Because he was doing it out of fear.
Right.
Not thinking. He's scared. He's really scared. You gotta stop. You can't just keep running and be scared.
Right.
Keep going once you know what you're doing, but don't run in fear. Start running too fast. Trip, man.
Is that what you told him?
No, I can't remember what I said. It was so long ago, but I got him. He phoned his dad, and I hitchhiked that way, and he went the other. Yeah. So I had my picture taken with the moose, or the elk walk around the band. They just walk around the town. Big elk, and you can get your picture taken with them. Fucking, they just walk around downtown, and bam. Yeah, stood there. I can't remember what happened. How he ended up going home. But he went home.
So, did you ever like fight to protect somebody?
Sure. My girlfriend Maureen, I was telling you, I was in Winnipeg with her before I went to Calgary and ended up beating up with a shot. Where I was working through a labor place where we loaded meat, fucking chicken and shit on the trailers. And one of the guys had a birthday party. So her and I go, and we're all partying there. And one of the guys that worked there, him and his girlfriend were there. And she's wanting to leave, go home. She's got her shoes ready to go. Well, he rips them out of her hand. My girlfriend was standing right there, and he gives her a swat. My girlfriend was standing there. She grabs the shoes. She doesn't want to go. She's staying right here. And he knocked the girlfriend out one shot with a lighter in his hand, eh? Well, I jump him. They break it all up. And I work with this guy. So her and I end up leaving. I end up quitting my job, and I told him. I said, you're going to get it the same way you fucking got it, the same way you give it to Mo. She didn't see it coming. You're not going to see it coming. 6 months later, I'm in the Parent Hotel, and Mo goes downstairs to talk to someone at the front desk. And this Todd Brownring, piece of shit, is down there, and he's half drunk, and she was getting fat, like I told you, she's the sweaty stuff. And she come upstairs crying. He's down in the lobby. He said, looked like I was fitting into my stretch marks, and she's pulling her eyes out. I had my bicycle with me with my U-lock. I said, he is, eh? Damn it. Okay, come on. Get on the elevator with the bike, eh? I said, when the door opened, you got the bike on the U-lock in my hand. Elevator door came open. I stepped out, and there he is, right on the bend of the front desk, eh? Just drunk, looks up, and by the time he looked up, I had it home. And I had it in the circle part, so it sort of just bounced. I turned it sideways and started going for his fucking temple. Yeah. And he's about 15 years younger than me. ate energy bars and good food and just, you know. So I grab a hold of him, I put him in a lock, and I can't let him go because I know he's going to kill me. I couldn't fight worth a shit, man, if I didn't have a bar or something in my hand. And so I get him underneath and his wallet's sticking out. And the guy behind the desk, he's going, I got to phone the cops. Okay, I'm going to say I got hung up. I got to phone him. Get out of here. And he's yelling. So I got him, and I'm going, Mo, get out of here. Get. And I look down, and his wallet's sticking out of his back pocket. And I grabbed his whole wallet. Here. Get going. Well, give him a few more kidney shots, eh? Finally, the guy's on the phone. Okay, I'm getting through this time. So I finally got loose of him and stomped him into the ground. Out the fucking front door I ran. Blood everywhere, man. His head was gushing. 6 months after that, he came up to me, gave me a grandpa and apologized. Yeah. But everybody says, oh, that. We were happy to see that happen to that prick. Because he used to walk around with a lighter in his hand and knock out anybody he wanted.
So that was kind of like the Avenger, then. You know, like avenging something he perceived as wrong.
Hey?
Well, because she didn't need protection at that point, did she?
Oh, no, she did. She didn't get it when she needed it the most, so she got it eventually. She might not have got it that night. I wasn't there. I couldn't stop that. But he got it the same as she did. He didn't see it coming.
So he
left
her.
He didn't stand a chance either.
He left her alone after that?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
He was, like, behaved himself a lot better after that?
Well, I didn't hang around. I never seen him after that. I quit the job. Because I told him, I can't walk through this place without hitting you over the head with a 2x4 when you're on your fucking forklift one day, so I'm not going to come to work. But I'll get you. Took forever. And yeah, I've probably done it a few other times than that too.
So who was it who diagnosed you as a sociopath then?
Oh, some psychiatrist.
All right, but were you, like, under observation, or what was going on?
Yeah, I was locked down for 18 months.
Like in a psych ward?
Yeah.
What was that for?
Well, it was a prison psychiatric.
So what had you done? Yeah. What did they think you'd done? What had you done?
Oh, I just committed crimes, but I told them that I thought I had mental problems. Actually, I was trying to look for an easy bit. Looking for these, like Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, looking for the best time to do. If you gotta do time, you might as well do it.
Right, but then he found out that they could keep him
there
as long as they
wanted. Well,
then
they got me talking, and the way I am, like, I don't hold on back. I was the same man. You know, I wasn't hiding. I'm losing high from. So when they wanted to talk, why not? I'm here for 18 months. Let's shoot shit, you know. So I told them everything. Like, so, I always speak from the heart. You ask me something, and I'll do my best to. And it was the same for them or anyone else, you know. And so they eventually
decided that you were sociopathic.
Yeah. Well, I asked, I said, well, let me read my file. Yeah, okay. You can ask me anytime if you want to read your file, no problem. So, yeah, one day I write it. Mm. Yeah, because I have to have it available for you anytime you want to read it.
So then you were considered to be a threat to society.
And myself, yeah. I can't remember exactly the words, I just remember that they were.
But they still let you out, though.
Oh, they had to, yeah.
Seriously, you didn't think you were that serious a threat.
Oh, no, I'm probably more like Girl Interrupted. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
You know, I'm more like Winona Ryder, you know. I just made a lot of bad choices, I'm not really crazy.
Do you ever hear voices?
No.
You ever like, geez.
Never killed animals.
That's a lie.
Well, no, not for just seeing something.
Well, no, I think you like the autist thing. You mentioned that as well. I mean, you ever
the
autist thing, like you ever feel like disconnected from other people.
Oh,
and, like,
I always thought I always thought everybody else is fucked up.
Like everybody else?
Oh, no, yeah. Well, there's, yeah, everybody else.
Except you.
Yeah. Yeah. For some damn reason, I'm superior. I don't know what it is. I don't feel it as strongly as I did years ago, you know? there was a time in my life when, oh yeah, you. Yeah. You know, when they look you up and down kind of guys. You know, maybe it was because of the kind of things I was doing. But yeah, I was felt invincible. And, you know, who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? You know, fuck with me.
But did you ever, like, think you were crazy or going crazy?
Well, yeah.
I mean, why did you tell the... Oh, you were looking for an easy way out of the psych ward.
Yeah, get a better...
That was your whole motive.
Get better jail time. You know? And probably wanted to talk to in the back of my head. You know? But I knew it was easy, an easy bit.
What about, like, psych?
It might have been Northern Treatment Center. I think it was Northern Treatment Center, actually. Not OCI.
Did they ask you about, like... Because I did a test a while back, and it wasn't for... It was for chronic fatigue, really. You know, this is a psychosomatic condition. But they had this whole, like, profile, which is a psych profile, so it had all these questions, and I recognized, because I know a little bit about schizophrenia. I mean, from personal experience, but also from reading about it, obsessive compulsive disorder, autism, you know, as I see it, they all overlap. They give these things names, and then they put them in a category, and so then they prescribe a drug for it or a treatment, but, you know, that's just like extreme cases, because... Anyway, so I did this test, and I could recognize the questions for schizophrenia, and some of them were to do with, like, have you ever felt like you had superpowers? Have you ever had, you know, psychic experiences? Do you ever hear voices? Do you ever think the dead are communicating to you? Shaman stuff, you know, as well as schizophrenic stuff. Or psychedelic, if you're taking a lot, you know, LSD or mushrooms, and you're going to have had these experiences as well. So, but I'm like you, I can't help but tell the truth, right? I don't feel comfortable telling a lie, unless it's just common sense, and it's a cop or something like that. I don't have a problem, you know. So I did. I told them that, yeah, I used to think I had superpowers, and yeah, felt the dead were communicating with me, and whatever the questions were, I said, yeah. And I didn't ever get the diagnosis. They didn't actually show me. They just said I didn't qualify for chronic fatigue. I didn't fit that profile. So, but anyway, did they ask you questions like that? Like,
oh, yeah. I got through a few questionnaires like that.
So do you, like, ever feel,
you know,
like...
those questions of what color is your shit right now? Do you have a crab? You know, those kind of questions. I've had those questionnaires. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So have you had, like, psychic experiences? Or, like, the dead were communicating with you or anything like that?
I used to dream that I could just will myself to float. Does that count as having a superpower?
Well, it's a dream, so, I mean, no, not really, because that's... Yeah,
but they're the only dreams I ever... I don't remember dreams. Those are the only ones that I remember. I could just... Well, that could sound weird.
So that's a recurring dream, then?
I haven't had it in years. I used to dream that my dad wasn't dead and he just ran off. That one occurred for years. That one day I was going to run into him at a bar or something, you know? Because I never went to his funeral either, you know, so I've never seen him. Yeah, that was a weird one. He used to always dream, yeah. He's just hiding, he just fucked off, same as the old lady did.
So, you don't remember your dreams now?
No.
Like, never? Wow. But, like, do you wake up with a sense that you've been dreaming?
Yeah.
So then you just don't think about them and then they're gone.
Oh no, I have to dream, geez.
Did you ever used to remember your dreams? Have you ever written them down?
No.
I just record them into this, and I just...
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So what about the dead? About like hearing the dead or feeling like the dead were trying to communicate?
Oh,
like,
no.
Like dead family, relatives, shit like that.
Well, again, in a dream, I think I told you about my grandma showing up in front of the house in a pickup truck.
Right. That was after she was dead?
Oh, yeah.
With a cigarette, right?
Yeah. She's sitting in the driver's seat of a pickup truck out in front of her old house. I was inside the house. And so, she looked like she's leaned over. Yeah, she was like she's leaned over the steering wheel dead, eh? If I remember right.
Well, how was she smoking a cigarette?
Well, she had it in her hand.
Alright, like burning.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So you ever wonder what that meant?
At the time, I thought I was supposed to go home. But I never did. So, that communicating, and like I said, I thought it meant I was supposed to go home, but it wasn't like she said, you fucking ass home.
Well, but do you think that the dead are around in some form? Do you think that they can communicate? Like ancestors?
I don't disbelieve it. Can I say I believe that there's... Yeah. I guess I have to. Now if I think about it. Sure.
So, and what about your Christian... That indoctrination, did any of it stick? I mean, do you like believe in angels and demons and stuff like that? Heaven and hell?
No.
What about Jesus?
That was a good story at the time.
For the record, that was not Chris.
You're wondering.